What's going on, guys? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez from The Real Ass Podcast. Thanks for listening, but did you know that we do this show live every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time? You watch the live show, join the chat room, have access to the video version of the show, and access hundreds of hours of archives if you sign up for membership at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP when you check out, and you'll save $1 on monthly membership for the entire network. We've got a bunch of great shows on the network, including Legion of Skanks, Shame On, Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, and brand new starting this month, Bruce Buffer's It's Time. So once again, that's gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP when you check out, and best of all, you don't have to listen to these commercials.
Baby, oh. This is The Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Louis J. Gomez.
What is up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, Real Ass Podcast. What a show. What a show we got planned today. Zach and Miko out in L.A., doing his thing with the Roast Battle Tournament for Comedy Central. We are wishing him the best of luck. I believe that it goes Thursday night, right? Tomorrow night is when it all starts. So wish your fucking love to Zach and Miko, who's out in L.A. in his place. Very excited to have Mike Feeney's here, guys. Very excited.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, Mike Feeney looking good, buddy. And as always, the...
Captain Cuddles. I got this.
Captain Cuddles.
Sergeant Snuggles.
I like it. Captain Cuddles. Chris Tinkle. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Fuck. You all right, dude?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What a hilarious time to start having a choking slash sneezing fit.
I know, right? Drink of water. I'm good, man. How's it going?
It's good, man. Good. Look, I'm going to tell you right now. I opened up my computer. What I do every time I open up my computer is I hit mute because I'm afraid that porn sounds are going to start screaming out of it. And look what I opened it up to. I'm obsessed.
Who is that?
Emmy Rossum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with her.
I have no idea who that is.
She's the,
There's so many different shots of her titties. I'm wondering why she has clothes on in any of those photos.
The lead in Shameless.
Ah. That's a William H. Macy show?
Yes.
Man,
she was the main girl in the family.
I don't want it to be literally, I know it's not entertaining radio just to be like, man, that girl's hot. But if you guys haven't seen this broad, I mean, you think Shannon's hot. If you think Shannon's hot, you will literally come in your pants if you look at Emmy Rossum. So that's it. That's what I opened it up to. And she's fucking fantastic. And nobody's talking about her. I almost feel like this is like Nirvana in 1991.
No, Louis. Shameless is on season 7. People talked about her.
Nobody's talking about this shit.
You just found the show and now you're like, who's this? I mean, who's this fucking Marilyn Monroe chick that I've been hearing so much about?
Look at that right there. I mean, she did also
do. Oh, dude, I'm in. Trust me.
I know you told me about her a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a new recruit, but I'm in
the
now.
The only jerk off to a still photo in the last decade, probably.
Yeah, I can do it. I love her.
That's almost impossible to do now with porn. Jerk off to a still photo.
Yeah, you can.
You got to put the work in.
Let me tell you why. Because if you're so depraved like I am, you kind of like you run a lap, and then you go like, okay, I'm back to being a little kid at one point. You have to cry and jerk off at the same time while you look at just like pictures of boobs.
Or you're trapped in your bathroom and your laptop is on the front room and you don't want to walk by your girlfriend because she's going to know that you're jerking off. So then you just got to use your phone.
Yeah. You ever use your imagination? Remember that?
Sometimes. Yeah.
No, then you start thinking of ex-girlfriends and then you're like, don't call them. Don't call them.
Shannon, let's get some plugs out of the way. Yeah, Mike, why don't you just say,
I can hear you.
Why don't you say into the microphone, I'm yelling, can you hear me? You better move. What the fuck was that?
I just hit this button right here.
Fuck face.
Green button.
My headphones are fucking off. If you do that again, I'll kill you.
I thought I was helping Mike. Just why the fuck would your buddy be on this side?
He's talking about his microphone.
I'm trying to help him.
Don't do it again, Tickle. You're not a tech guy.
You don't know me. I'm special. I have a lot of different... things that I can
I'm just trying to enjoy this nice Pitbull / Kesha song.
I hate this song more than anything in the world.
I think it's pretty solid.
I can't believe that your microphone is right here. This is going to be so awesome.
I just got... no, it's not my microphone, fuckface. It's everyone's headphones. Don't hit that button again. If you fucking touch one more button, I'll kill you. I just got back from Miami, so that's why we're playing Pitbull. And when I was in shape, people would tell me that I look like Pitbull.
Yeah, now they're not.
Yeah. Is he Puerto Rican? I do feel like my feet is a little low, Shannon.
Super low.
Yeah,
some would say
listen to me versus the sound of
I can't even hear myself in these.
Yeah, put him up a little bit because he doesn't have a manly voice. Okay, I project like a man.
You just actually yell?
No, I'm not yelling. This is me being as quiet as I could possibly be.
Okay,
now put that fucking music back up, Shannon.
Your inside voice causes
disruptions.
Yeah.
Anything to plug, Mike Feeney?
We're doing the match? Jesus Christ.
We're doing them right up top.
Yes, I just released a podcast, Irish Goodbye Podcast, on iTunes. First episode recorded right here. So there's actually...
Oh, that's the one you guys recorded here?
Yeah. So that is actually, there's video of that on YouTube under Irish Goodbye, but go check out Irish Goodbye Podcast. Subscribe, leave a review, just listen to it. It's a really fun time, Cannon and I.
Yeah, Mike and Mike, you guys are very funny, and I listened to that first episode. It's fucking great.
It's a good time. We've gotten good feedback.
I started to listen to it again on iTunes just to hear your sound. I was like, oh, that sounds great. Whoever produced it, it's good. Then I realized it's us. Good.
Yeah. Chris promptly told us come back some other
time. Listen to Hammer Fisting Podcast. We'll be live today at 5. And I'm going to be doing the roast battle next month, so have a day.
Oh, shit. Jonas Barnes, former Hammer Fisting host, versus Chris Tinkle, current Hammer Fisting host.
Did you see that fucking tweet wrote me? He's like, maybe if I win, you can have me back on Hammer Fisting.
Yeah. No. It's never going
to
happen.
No. If I lose to you, I don't want to fucking see your face, psycho. I'm not one of those good sports. I'm not an athlete. I don't need to do that.
I'm not one of those good sports.
No. Guys, go to GomezComedy.com, Gomez Comedy on Instagram. I don't know. Do I have anything? I don't really have anything on the road coming up right now. I mean, we have Austin. We have Moon Tower. Legion of Skanks will be at Moon Tower in April.
Oh, that's sick.
I think that's it. But I had a great time in Miami. Cut the music. It's fine, Shannon. I had a great time in Miami. I don't mind Miami. Now that we are at a digital age, here's what's cool.
Miami's great. Why would you not like Miami?
Well, as comedians, we only can live in New York or L.A., right? In the entertainment industry, for the most part, you're only allowed to live in New York or L.A. But because we're in a digital age and everything has kind of changed, the entire landscape of how you create content, you don't have to be in New York or L.A. anymore in order to get to a radio station or to get to a TV studio. As we start doing more podcasts and we self-produce our shit, it's like, technically, I could fucking do my show from anywhere, from fucking Tahiti.
Yeah.
Do they have Wi-Fi in Tahiti?
Sure, they're like the upscale resorts do. Probably not the people that are fucking...
So all I gotta do is rent a...
Pond of people stranded on islands. I don't think they have Wi-Fi.
Yeah. They're just... Those people are just living, waiting until the next natural disaster comes.
Yeah, just take us. Please take me.
They're just talking to like a volleyball life in the sand looking for coconuts.
No idea what Tahiti's like, even in the slightest bit, okay? But I will tell you right now, a great idea for a podcast studio would be on an all-inclusive resort. How great would that be right now if we were... Right now, just having drinks delivered to us,
sure.
Food, fun in the sun, maybe a little canopy type thing, poolside. That's a podcast.
But
right
then
there.
we'd just be too happy. You know what I mean? You want this New York? Fuck this. Came the subway's fucked up. You need people don't want to hear just people. Oh, we're drinking a Mai Tai. We're having a good time.
I don't
on the
think
beach.
So. I think
hey fans, guess who's barefoot walking around the sand?
Yeah,
Lewis.
No. Here's what people want, right? People want happiness projected onto them. There's a great little meme out right now that like podcast fans are passing around, and it says what it feels like to listen to a podcast. And there's on a wall, there's an advertisement with three girls eating ice cream cones, right? Like they're just sitting in an advertisement on a wall. And sitting next to the picture, like he's sitting with them, is just a young kid, like a 14-year-old kid also eating an ice cream cone. It's just a really funny like little thing, and it says what it's like to listen to podcasts. So it's almost like they're sitting in on the conversation. They don't want to fucking. Nobody wants to sit at a table with a bunch of angry fucking assholes.
I'm saying angry, but it's different when you're overly happy and you're just like, "This is great. This is great. I got a coconut."
Feeny, you're describing yourself.
What, me?
Yeah, you're describing
overly happy.
Yeah, like you're a nice guy. Everything's going good. You and your fucking wife go on vacations together.
We do go
you're
on good vacations. Looking.
You're in shape. You got abs. You drive a nice car.
I drive a Honda Civic. Let's really just take
nice
it
car,
back.
But comedian standards, that's a fucking nice car. What year is it?
2010.
Unbelievable.
It's 6 or 7 years old.
That sounds good, though. I haven't had a car since I was 18 years old.
You haven't been
so
allowed.
So that sounds old. You have a car from the future?
Yeah, yeah. I was
Are
say,
you kidding me? Whoa,
yeah. You haven't had a license in 10 years. That's the difference.
Yeah. But you, how do you do that, Feeny? Because you're the one sitting here going like, oh, you need to have kind of unhappiness to create the funny. And I understand that sentiment. And I do believe it. I am kind of just playing devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Because I think it does need to come from somewhere. But you have a good fucking life, Mike Feeny.
I mean, I think I'm doing all right. You know what I mean? I'm happy, you know, and that's it's just tough because you feel like with comedy, you feel like you're almost not allowed to be too happy. You know what I mean? Like if you're happy, people get angry. You know what I mean? Where they're like, why the fuck are you traveling or going to a place? You know what I mean? Where they're like, every time you leave New York City, people are like, why? If it's not specifically comedy related, it's like you're not trying hard enough. You know
well,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Well, yeah, if I do judge comics that go on vacations.
But that's weird.
Mike Brigatelli took a month-long like backpacking trip through like Europe. I was like, are you fucking kidding
me?
No,
but that's...
Beat it. Get out.
No, man.
Get the fuck out.
I see.
Get out of comedy. If you're willing to take a
month
off...
You need
to
rest, off, though. You got to rest.
I mean,
sometimes.
A month...
You need to rest.
Yes.
A month is crazy.
A month is a long time, but still, it's like, dude, you need to get out there and experience other shit. There, like Mike Brigatelli, if he waits till he's... Everyone's like, oh, you can travel when you're older. He's not going to be able to backpack through Europe at 65. You know what I mean? Like, you got to do that shit when you're young, man.
I know. Nobody should be backpacking through. Yeah. We're adults. Why are you fucking
that is
living
like a
in people's homes
thing.
Eating shitty food? Mike Brigatelli's 32 years old. Why is he backpacking anywhere? Go fuck yourself, okay? But that's the thing. People do judge that, and I kind of judge that. Like, if you're willing to take that much time off of comedy, to be honest, you kind of don't want it that bad. Unless you're like fucking, you know, super famous. Like, I know Ari does shit like that. You know, I think he's at a level where he can take it off. But I'll tell you right now, in his first 10 years, do you think Ari ever took a month off of comedy?
Not a month,
or a week,
yeah,
or
but
2 weeks. I bet you he didn't. I'm going to ask Ari if she fair that question.
I'm trying to have a personal goal to go out of the country once a year, even if it's for a couple days, just to fucking. There's too many fucking places to see, dude. And then each time I did when I went to Spain, I did comedy there. That was
fucking
awesome.
Yeah, but you're going
to
see all those places doing comedy, which is cool. It's kind of like built into it,
right?
But it's kind of like you watch guys. It's almost like why, you know, like somebody like Schumer, it's almost difficult to even be to relate to it. I watch it. I almost watching it happen with Big J right now, where he's like getting some success.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I'm going like, I was like, nobody wants to hear about you flying on a private
how
jet.
Things are great. Yeah.
Right.
It's not like there's just nothing like people aren't going to relate to that. So I think as you have success, you know, a lot of those things become less relatable. And I think it's harder to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like telling a story about flying on a private jet, all that is telling a story about having a fucking big dick and how awesome your life is.
I mean, there's almost this whole like brand new genre of comedy where it's comics that were popular in the 90s, but now they're doing comedy again because they need money.
Yeah.
And that it's all stories about their famous friends from the jobs from like 20 years ago. Yeah. It's all
just
it's
name
just like
dropping,
name dropping over and over again. And most of the stories, you're like, oh, that wasn't even a story. That was just... You saw William Shatner and you gave him a thumbs up in the elevator? What the fuck? I sat here for 8 minutes for that?
Well, dude, there's how many comics do we all know that are like, you know, they post social media stuff where every time they're around somebody even mildly famous and it works at the same comedy club, taking pictures, just be like, out here hustling,
dude, I'm telling
100
right now,
hashtags.
We all
just like,
with comics right, what the fuck are you talking about right now? Anyway.
Dude, with comics right, I'm out grinding hashtag. I just want to fucking...
Why don't you just say
grinding.
Black people? Why are you guys saying comics?
You're not a fucking fighter. You're out
hashtagging,
grinding,
or blessed, okay? It's
you
all
you
black
went to Starbucks and wrote some shitty dick jokes, dude. Yeah. Fuck off.
No, grinding. There was that night at the Comedy Cellar where Chris Rock and Amy Schumer and Aziz Ansari and Dave Chappelle and everybody and their fucking mother stopped by the Comedy Cellar. And all these comics are posing for pictures. There's like a bunch of comics that are like posing for... And you're literally watching them like insert themselves in the pictures and put their head in it.
Just leaning.
And I'm like, how are you not embarrassed? How are you not embarrassed to take a photograph with these fucking kings and queens of comedy, the best of the best? I mean, forget the if you like these comics or not. We're talking about widely regarded the best comics in the world.
Yeah.
And then there's you. And how are you sitting next to them and going like, you do realize to everybody else in the world, you look like you're a fan.
Yeah.
And
that's
maybe
hilarious.
You know, to be honest with you, for me, it's maybe a problem with my own ego, but I would literally be on the opposite side of the room. I could not in a million years be like, let me pose for a picture with you guys.
It's like if some like peasant was like you know, it's like the Last Supper going on and he fucking takes a photo with Jesus behind him fucking breaking bread. You're like, hey,
eat out to dinner with JC.
Yeah. It was like, oh, so how
was gonna suck.
Literally blessed.
Everyone's like, oh, how was the bread? Oh, I didn't get any. I wasn't
Well, it's like when people go to, like, I know a lot of people that don't work at the Comedy Cellar that went to the Comedy Cellar holiday party where you're just like, you feel comfortable there. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, it's a different.
Well, look, too, it's a balance because I understand it. You know, you want to, like, if it is open and you're friends with people that
but
are
it
there,
wasn't
I
open.
Guess,
yeah, a lot of people showed up. There wasn't.
I don't even like going to holiday parties. I walk in for 10, 15 minutes and then I dip out.
Yes.
I let my face be seen and I make it look like, holy shit, that guy probably has something else going on.
Exactly.
And I just go home and cry.
And I play that game called Let's Not Make These Lies Too Big.
Yes.
Because it can be fact checked.
Well, the other thing is, like, I also, if I'm in any environment, literally any environment that I'm in, if I'm there for long enough, I'm going to say something that is going to offend somebody or, and I'm not being like edgy, right? I'm saying I'm going to say something stupid. I'm going to make some dumb joke where the person in the room doesn't get it, doesn't know me, doesn't kind of understand what I do. Pull up the inauguration video that we filmed for Comedy Central. If you go on Comedy Central's Facebook channel, we filmed a video to roast the inauguration. It was as it was happening. Okay. Now, we all sat in the room. It was me, Eli Sayers, Dina Hashem. You'll see the comics that are in it. Mike Racine. And, you know, the idea was as the inauguration was going on, we had to write roast jokes and then we had to run into the other room and then film our jokes and they cut everything together. And that was that. And I think we actually wrote some really fun stuff, but it was Comedy Central, like executives and legitimate, like, you know, people there that had to check everything. So much funny stuff wasn't said on this video. And they put some good stuff up. I don't like the way they edited the video together, and you'll see the way they do it. They put, like, this somber tone to it. So it looks like we're literally, like, upset that Donald Trump is president. I don't give a fuck.
But that's their own spin.
If it was Hillary or Donald Trump, I would have showed up to roast whoever the fuck was being sworn in. Sure. Is that not our job?
No, it's
comics?
A gig for Comedy Central.
First of all, if it was my fucking dead mom, I would have roasted her for Comedy Central.
Call my mom a cunt.
Hey, mom, cunt, give me my money. Let's do it. No, but that's the truth, right? So they post this video, and all of these people. I posted it on my Facebook too, Shannon. So I shared it, so you could find it. Shannon's killing it with searching for stuff over there. So it's okay, babe. So they edit it together with like this dark background, and all of these people are coming out going like, this thing fucking sucks. You guys are fucking sensitive little bitches. And I'm going like, I don't give a fuck who the president is.
Yeah.
I truly don't care. But here, put it up on the big screen, Shannon.
Let's not forget this is a good day for some people. Like anyone selling Who Farted t-shirts. I think Trump had a
who's laughing?
This is all the people from the room. Yeah.
He took his oath of office and he nailed it, to be honest.
I love the scarf.
I half expected him to say, I faithfully swear to execute every Mexican in this country. Who the hell names a kid Baron? Yeah, this is my son Baron. Check out his brother, Slumlord and Union Buster.
That's going to be really hard to call him President Trump instead of that pussy grabbing guy from the country.
Shannon, pull up some of the comments. People hate this.
Well,
people,
they didn't do a very good job with it. It looks like it's like some fucking advertisement for DeVry College.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it doesn't look like a, like, doesn't.
It wasn't, what they should have done with it is it should have felt like a fucking fun roast party.
Ari's the first one to. This video is
don't pull up
Trump.
The ones on my wall. Pull up the ones on the actual Comedy
Look
Central
at your wall.
Wow,
these
are
this
nice.
Was horrible.
My fans were brutal to me.
Wow, this was horrible. Was the first one.
I love how people, dude, it's a fucking paid gig.
Yeah.
That's why when people were fucking shitting on Three Doors Down, I got furious because I'm like, dude, what else were they doing on a fucking Tuesday in 2017?
I get it. That's also a little different, right? Here's the thing. If you play the inauguration for Trump,
I wouldn't stand up at his thing.
They didn't even tag you in the thing so that people could hyperlink to your profile?
Yeah.
They just listed it?
Remember, he is our president. People could say he's not my president. Well, if you're an American citizen, he is your president. So get used to it and
stop whining.
Same comedians that told Ann Coulter she should be shot in the face. These comedians would be great in China /Russia/ North Korea where there's only one idea to accept.
I can't find the comedians. There were people talking, but their jokes were so bad they can't possibly be considered comedians. 48 likes.
Who's this Mike King guy? I would be his friend.
These people should hold on.
Mike King's on the money.
These people should quit their day jobs.
Not quit their day jobs.
Should not quit their day jobs. Honestly, where are the jokes? Welcome to Snowflake Central, home of the safe space in your PC culture.
God damn.
I mean, this is hundreds of comments. There is not one comment supporting this video. I swear to God. Not one. The best I got was on my wall. A couple people were like, yeah, dude, that's really terrible. Your joke was okay.
Nice scarf.
It's a weird idea, though. Like, you put people who like, aren't on the show.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. And they do this with Ann Coulter, too, being on that roast, right? Oof. Here's the issue. We're technically, quote unquote, supposed to roast the ones we love. We're supposed to be doing this. It comes from a place of like, hey, we're busting balls and we're friends. These roasts.
Yeah, that's how it started.
That's how it started. It was like somebody in the comedy community, you appreciate what they do. They get a certain level of success. It's why we did Big J's roast. And it goes back to the old timey roast back at the Friars Club, yeah. Right? You're celebrating friendship, right? So with Ann
Coulter, they're all friends. Everyone is all friends
and
there.
Everyone's
they
friends.
Invite some asshole that no one knew.
Comedy Central started doing these roasts where they needed some celebrities, and I got it. But it was still kind of in the same vein, though. Like, it was a lot of their friends. Then they hired some professional comics that did it very well. But, you know, it was kind of this culture, and I thought it was okay what they were doing with Comedy Central. When they brought out Ann Coulter on that roast, and the same thing with this video specifically, the fans of, like, they're not doing it out of love. They're not trying to make Ann Coulter look great. They're not trying to make Trump look, like, awesome. We're not having a laugh with Trump. What we're doing is we're drawing a line, choosing a side, pointing our finger and attacking. And that's not what roasting is about. That's not what I wrote about. I thought it was funny. I really, truly mean this. It doesn't matter who the fuck the president was. And it happened. Obama was president one day. I would make fun of him and his administration. If there was something funny about what was going on with Obama, I would make fun of it. And then Trump became president. It was the same thing. And both sides, both people are fucking pussies. The liberals and the far right people are fucking pussies. Every one of them. None of them have a sense of humor. It's all about their fucking agenda. Okay? I have no agenda. Most good comedians have no agenda. We call it like we fucking see it. Okay? But every fucking liberal person that's out there and every fucking right-wing conservative person out there that is really choosing a hard line and choosing a side, they're fucking thoughtless pussies. And if you call yourself a liberal or a conservative and you agree with everything Trump's doing or everything Obama did, you don't have a fucking brain cell in your head.
Yeah.
You're not actually looking at these candidates or these presidents for what they're actually doing. You're just picking a side and staying with them fucking blindly like it's a fucking sports team. It's like, oh, dude, the Eagles got to fucking win. I don't care what happens with the Eagles. They got to fucking win. Yeah. Well, be that fucking puppet. And it's happening in comedy, and it's sad. I'm literally watching it. The second you make a Trump joke, I have all these people coming out being like, oh, all right, Snowflake. All right, Snowflake. How upset are you that Trump's president now? I was like, are you fucking crazy? We're all supposed to make fun of the fucking president. Everyone in the world is supposed to go, oh, he's in charge. In high school, the principal. You're supposed to go, fuck the principal.
Yes.
We're going to fucking blow, spitballs at him and throw a piece of paper at him.
I'm glad you said spitballs because it was going to get dark for
a second.
Yeah. I hate him so much, I'm going to blow him in the office. Oh. Yeah, so you're still a fucking snowflake. And, it's like, well, that was, I mean, dude, that's not on you guys. I think that was like a bad job. That was out of context. And I think that like,
I don't want to say it. I don't want to knock Comedy
Central. I'll say it. I wasn't on it.
I think
what are they going to do? Not keep putting me on? I'm already not on there.
Look, here's the deal, right? I think that we all did a great job writing those jokes. It didn't come across the way that I would have wanted to come across. They should have put together like a fun type of thing.
Yes.
They should have had us use. We all did write jokes. We should have wrote jokes about Obama as well. They should have had us roasting anybody.
Have an audience.
Anybody who was on that screen, we should have been shitting on because that's technically what we were doing.
Right.
But instead, they chose the jokes specifically that were shitting on Trump. They filmed it in a way that was kind of dark, and it sent this message like, I was like, I don't know. I'm not, I almost feel like that misrepresented the way that I feel about things because I would make fun of anybody.
There's also something that's so weird to me about when people put up these videos of a talking head and then they include the laughters from the people that are on the crew.
Yeah.
Which is like, I get it. Like, you're making, for us, it's like we're making the crew laugh. We're making the people behind the scenes laugh. That's the greatest feeling. But to a person watching it, it sounds like there's a crowd and only four people laugh.
That's also
so
true.
It sounds like you're bombing, except for four people. Yeah, you know what I mean? Where it's like.
Well, I was killing for, well, I was actually doing okay with eight. Yeah. I guess.
I don't know. Here's the thing. It almost has become like Trump is like, It's almost become hack at this point to talk like that's how many.
I don't want to talk about him anymore.
But you not talking about it makes you stand out. And there's a lineup of seven comics. At least five will have a Trump joke, a Trump reference, Trump like being like, oh, it's the end of the world. You know what I mean? Where it's just like it's fucking
overkill.
Easy. It's low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
I can't. I just fuck it. I can't. And just the people on the right calling me a snowflake. I'm like, well, aren't you being sensitive because somebody made a joke about your president? Who gives a fuck? Who cares? That was the big thing this week, is that there was an SNL writer that was fired. Or not, was she fired or she...
suspended indefinitely? Like, yeah, you know, some weird suspension thing. It cools down, pretty much.
Let's see. Suspended indefinitely. I want to look up this story right now. Katie Rich of SNL is suspended for a tweet mocking Barron Trump. Let me find the actual tweet.
How old is Barron Trump?
I think he's 8.
I think he's 10.
10?
10 years old.
He's young.
Pretty funny tweet. Katie Rich, Barron will be this country's first homeschool shooter.
You only got 22? That's got to be early in the thing.
Well, she deleted it, I'm sure. So it's a funny tweet. You know, look, here's the thing. Like, I understand the sentiment of people being upset about attacking a kid, right? All the time on this show, I talk about how I walk through the hood and I watch these 4- and 5-year-old kids, 3-year-old kids out at 1 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, like literally like just running the streets with maybe an older brother barely watching them. And I go, wow, that kid's got no fucking chance, right? I don't blame those kids. I don't even blame their parents because their parents had no chance. So there's a systematic problem there. And the same thing is like, I'm not going to blame, let's say you hate Donald Trump, right? How are you blaming a 10-year-old kid for being born into that and kind of right. being like, you know, it's like every one of us, whether it's Donald Trump, a fucking crackhead in prison right now, fuck your favorite pro wrestler, your favorite writer, you know, the person working at the checkout at the laundry right now or at the supermarket right now, every one of us were just a fucking baby in our mom's arms at one point.
Sure.
Every person. Okay. So I understand the sentiment of going, hey, you know, don't fucking attack a kid. I don't like that. I don't really like, you know, people going after, like, even, you know, with Obama's kids, to me, in my opinion, it's like, why attack children? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I also have a kid. I probably have a different attitude now that I have a kid as well. You know, jokes are jokes. You know, I get, I've made jokes about kids. We see news stories all the time. We make fucked up jokes about them. So I'm not above anything, but I do get it. I understand why somebody would be upset. Now, separate issue. It's a fucking comedy writer. It's her job to make jokes about shit. And to be honest, she wasn't even making a joke where he was the butt of the joke. It was a joke about his upbringing, to be honest. It was a joke about Trump. It was a joke about fucking, you know, it doesn't matter. It could have been any kid. If he had another 6-year-old kid, the same joke would have applied for that kid. So it actually wasn't a joke where it was attacking the kid at all. SNL, that's fucking very strange considering how liberal they are and how much they
hate Trump. Yeah, yeah, it's real weird. I honestly initially was like, I don't see what the fuck. Like, this is crazy that this person got suspended. Like, it's just a joke. And the more, I don't have kids, so I can't empathize. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know what it is more than anything? It's like it's low hanging fruit. Like, you're taking a pot shot at a 10-year-old.
If you say low hanging fruit one more time on the
show,
how
many times did I say it?
Once already. Twice is too much on any show.
Did I say it?
Well, I refer to my balls as low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
So. Here's the thing. I just don't think that that's, like, it's just not, they're above that, is what I feel like. And taking shots at a kid, like, if the kid read that tweet, right? You know what I mean? It's like, how's that kid gonna feel? Even if it's supposed to be making fun of the kid's father, it's like, you don't need to make
that is not close to the worst thing that people have said about that kid.
Of course, but
do
I'm
you know
saying
what people have said about well, that fuck
but I'm again? Saying if people started tweeting about fucking baby James constantly or just being like he's gonna grow up and be a fucking, you know, he's gonna be a maniac because of his dad and stuff, even if you're more getting more offended than him reading that, that's not gonna make him feel, you know what I mean? It's like he's a fucking innocent kid, he shouldn't be reflected by what his father, you know what I mean?
granted
the fact that his father's a maniac, you know,
right? And I agree
talking
with
about you.
Not Trump. Oh, dude! I said James was gonna come out gay and like finger snapping because Louis, and dude, and you were a little bit like, all right, dude. After like the 10th one, you're like, all right.
Well, you know what it is though. I also his mother does not have a sense of humor about that shit at all.
Why,
like, even slightly?
Yeah, you can't make fun. You can't fuck. No kid does. Cyberbullying is so fucking. I mean, we never had to deal with that generation of that, but that shit is so tough.
Here's what we're lucky though with our kids, right? We're we are figuring it out. It's the Wild West right now. And by the time my son is, you know, 10 years from now, I think we're going to have a little bit more of a grasp on how to, you know, how to deal with social media. And right now, everyone's addicted to it right now. Everyone's like super addicted to it. And that's a problem. And I think that that's going to be, that being a problem is going to start to be implemented into the culture. You know, our nose always being in our phone and always being in a computer screen, more and more it's starting to pop up and it's pinging people and going like, oh, that's an issue. That's not good. There's more blogs. There's more videos. There's more people talking about it, you know? So I think our children are going to, while they're growing up in a culture where that's very prevalent, I also think, at the very least, the way that I'm going to teach my son is that's not how you do things. He's not allowed to play games at the table. I see all the time, I'm at a restaurant, there's kids pulling out their cell phones and they're playing video games.
Yeah, or while they put the iPad in front of them.
Yeah, well, we were on a line at like Marshall's just going to buy shit. It was a crazy long line, right? And most parents just give their kid a cell phone and have them play with it. We never do that with my son. We have a conversation with them. And I remember there was a teacher ahead of me online, and she was from England, and she turned around and she was like, that's really good. She was like, the fact that you're just talking to your son for the past 20 minutes on this line is a really great way to parent him and have him almost had a it teaches him how to deal with life without using a device in order to deal with it, which I think is creating more ADD.
Now, was he asking for the phone at any point? Being like, I want to look this sometimes. Up. I want to see it.
Shut the fuck up.
But can you imagine?
I want to play some Angry Birds. Good Lord. I get it. You're a good dad. Fuck. Snowflake, hand me the phone.
But that's fucked up. I mean, can you imagine like being a fucking freshman in high school and then like being, you know, checking your Twitter followers and then, you know, some person being like, you know, some fucking hot chick in your school having 10,000 Instagram followers and you have 9 and then, you know what I mean? It's like that South Park episode where it's like, that shit's terrible, man. Like that must be fucking brutal.
It'd be hard to be like a fucking young kid in high school now with social media and everything. That'd be rough.
Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, I can't really grasp what it's like now. But what I mean, we were just fucking, think about it. We had nothing to do except, you know, fucking whatever, like literally whatever. We would drive around. I would get in my car and I would turn on the radio. And we'd listen to CDs and we would drive around and talk to each other. That's what me and my friends would do.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's happening anywhere near as much as it was when we were kids. Like literally just kids just driving around, like smoke a joint, fucking have a conversation, talk about life, talk about the future, talk about our dreams, all that shit. No, and now kids are just on their fucking cell phone. They're still having a conversation, but they're not having a real, it's not in reality. They're having this virtual conversation with a much wider group of friends. They feel like they have more people. They feel like oh, dude, I'm fucking
talking to everybody. I'm in a group chat, everything.
But they have no real 4,000, you know, like I have 4,000 friends on Facebook. Yeah. No, you don't.
And they
have
zero connections.
You know what? Those guys for $5 for gas and see what happens.
You know what the hardest part is? The part that they're not learning, this newest generation, is the fact that if there's that group, and this happens with us too now, I see like at comedy clubs and stuff, there's a group of people talking and there's that dead point in the conversation where nobody speaks for 15 seconds, people just start taking out their phone.
It's called the Irish Goodbye Podcast.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's called...
check it out on iTunes, please. Leave it
Chris Scopo. That's actually...
It's called Pulling a Scopo,
yeah. Yeah, but that's that thing where it's like, there's no... You don't learn how to get over that social awkwardness of like, this is a dead point in the conversation, so let's just go into our phone. It's like a safe mode, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of a terrifying thing, you know? I'm one of the only people.
Isolation.
I my phone, and this may be because people don't like me, or I don't know, but my phone never rings. Nobody ever calls. Definitely. I call people all the time.
You do call people.
I pick up the phone. Shannon, am I not the? If I have to tell you something, I call you all the time.
Yeah, but you won't respond to my emails or texts
ever,
because I have fat thumbs. Do you know how frustrating it is?
Get a bigger phone.
Texting for me is like speaking for Tinkle. Tinkle's got a fat tongue. I got fat thumbs. Do you understand my problem now, Tinkle? Every time I send a text, I'm like, ugh.
Text on this phone. That's why I got it, because it's bigger. That's why I realized that too. When you have bigger hands, you need a bigger phone, even though this thing's a fucking monster. It's amazing to type. You're typing something condescending, I'm sure. But here's the thing.
I'm not even looking to see if I did it. Tell me if I typed it.
You typed, you are a faggot, suck my dick, pretty boy, bitch.
There did it come out perfect?
It came out perfect. That's what I'm saying.
What phone is that?
This is the iPhone 7 Plus. That's what I'm saying. It's a bigger phone. People give you shit for it, but it's so much easier to type.
That's good.
Yeah, you never.
I didn't even look, and I typed very fast.
You never respond to texts, and you also never say goodbye. That's your other thing, too. Yeah. You just go, here's the thing I need to say to you, and then you just, my phone
I won't even say it when I name your podcast. Like the Irish, whatever you want to call
Irish,
it.
Irish, yeah, something. Irish
whatever
click.
You want to call
Irish,
it.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, people have given me shit for not saying goodbye for years. I feel like that's a waste of words.
It's not. It's a pleasant. It's like saying what's up or hello. Nope. It's just a common courtesy.
I show
it's a
up,
human being.
I say what I need to say.
Yeah.
I walk away.
Yeah.
That's the way I do things in life.
Yeah.
Shannon, do you need hellos and goodbyes? No, right? You're not a child.
I would prefer them.
Yeah, well, it's also like a cue to know something's over.
Yeah.
Right.
Then, yeah, it's like, yeah. You just fucking vanish. I'm like, yeah. Is he going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Gonna,
yeah.
Like,
are we still talking? Did his phone cut out?
I sit there for 8 minutes on my phone here? All nervous.
Yeah. Sometimes people do that to me, too. I won't say goodbye, and then they'll call back, and I'm like, what? Like, you didn't say goodbye. I'm like, oh, like, what is happening right now? I have to do this twice? Yeah, maybe I'm an asshole. Maybe I'm an asshole.
Not an asshole. Know. I think you just lack a certain...
But hold on. Fine. Maybe I'm a little uncouth, right? But am I not one of the only people that ever call you guys?
True. I mean, I get other calls, but you're definitely... Of comedians, you're definitely one of the only people that calls on the phone.
Because I can say so much in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, and if I text you, it's like just throwing a note into the
ocean. That's exactly what it is, because it's never like a conversation. It's just like your fucking monologue that you have memorized that you need
to give information to me.
And then you're like, okay, later.
Me?
Yeah.
No, that's not true. I have conversations. Maybe not with you, Tinkle.
You have conversations. What?
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, I wanted to talk about Blue Apron really quick. This is quickly becoming my favorite company in the world, because it is designed for assholes with my lifestyle, okay? BlueApron.com, if you guys haven't heard about what they do, it's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. It's Blue Apron's mission to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody. So here's the thing, right? None of us can cook. We're dudes, okay? I can't cook for shit.
I can cook.
So what can you cook? What can you cook?
I'm actually a very good cook. Okay. I make lasagna, manigot, some chicken cutlets, baby.
Perfect. Cool. Yeah. Exactly. We're dudes. Mike Feeney's kind of...
He makes chicken nuggets.
Yeah, Mike Feeney's kind of a lady.
If you come over, I'll make you food. You'll fucking love it.
You know what I guarantee it's not as good as?
Blue Apron.
Blue Apron. Okay? Because here's the thing. You know, our friend, if you are a cook then, Feeney, you know how difficult it is to put in the time to prepare, learn recipes. There's a reason that people talk about grandma's age-old recipes,
yeah,
right?
It's
because
forever.
It's passed down from generation to generation. To put the time in, I mean, it's a lot. And you know firsthand, Feeney, I'm never going to do that. I'll make you some eggs. I'll make you some toast. I can do a frog in the pond. My kid loves it, right?
Yeah.
But that's really it, okay? Blue Apron, basically, they send you all the ingredients pre-measured out, some of the best meals you'll ever have. Some of the meals that are coming up, spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage and furikake, pork chops with garlic piccata and scallion rice and spinach. These amazing meals, they send you all the ingredients pre-measured out with simple step-by-step instructions on how to prepare these meals. You look like the fucking man, okay?
And you don't have to go all over town to go get spices and
no.
stuff like that.
Yeah. Dude, think about this. I was like, let's say I need a little bit of garlic powder, right? What am I going to do? I'm not going to go spend $9 on a thing of adobo garlic powder.
Steal it. Oh.
No, I'm going to go to the pizzeria. I'm going to be like, hey, can I get a little garlic powder? I throw it in a thing. I bring it home. You don't need to do all that, okay? You don't need to go around from restaurant stealing spices.
That sounds convenient.
It's a pain in the ass to steal spices because nobody's buying spices.
Blue Apron, stopping Louis from being shady.
Yeah. Stop Louis from,
tagline.
From larceny.
Here's the deal. It's affordable as shit. It's less than $10 per person per meal. You get a variety of meals. It's super flexible. You can customize your recipes each week based off your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what best fits your needs. Each meal comes with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe and pre-portioned ingredients, and they get prepared in 40 minutes or less. 40 minutes. Here's the dude. You got a booty call? Boom. Hey, you know what? Come over in an hour. I'm going to have dinner waiting for you. You're going to look like the fucking man. You're going to look like a god walking amongst men. Women, when's the last time, if you're a lady listening to this right now, when's the last time you showed up at a man's apartment and he had a full cooked meal that he prepared with his own hands? Shannon, how turned on are you right now just thinking about it?
Love it.
Love it. Okay. Here's the deal. Check out this week's menu. You get the first three meals for free. Free. You heard that right. Free shipping as well. Go to blueapron.com/real. You're going to love how good it feels, tastes. Feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so do not wait. That's blueapron.com/real. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And also, Tinkle, I'm back in the gym.
Are you?
I'm back, baby. I'm back. It's a new year. It's a new me. I know I say this every year, but I will also say...
Actually, every 4 months, but go ahead.
But do I not lose the weight? Do I not get back in shape? Do I not get shredded out every single time?
When you're focused, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you know what? Guess what?
You draw a line in that fat sand.
I am focused again, okay? Not only am I eating healthy, not only am I working out every single day, but check this out. We have a new sponsor that has hooked us up with a pretty amazing product. And I've used a lot of different products out there, a lot of different supplements with my workouts, pre-workout supplements, post-workout supplements. I just started taking this a couple days ago. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, I truly think that this is a lot different than a lot of the other things on the market. It's called Force Factor Test X180 Ignite. It's designed to burn fat, build muscle. It is a free testosterone booster and fat burner. You know, it's as simple as this, man. It's hard enough to motivate to get to the gym. You know, whatever little corners we can cut and anything that we can use to help us, more than anything else, for me anyway, it gives me a little bit of a mental edge. It kind of pumps me up, gets me going in the morning.
We're also older, too, so it helps.
100%. Test X180 Ignite. You take two in the morning when you get up. You take two before you go for a workout. I'm going to tell you right now, it boosts free testosterone. It helps burn fat and deliver energy. It helps build lean muscle, which is what people want. People don't want the big Arnold Schwarzenegger wrestling. But, yeah, well, Shannon's the only one who wants that. Shannon, literally, if you ask any lady in the world, they want a dude with a swimmer's body or like an MMA body. They don't want some big, bulky, steroided out freak. They want a dude who has some nice, felt, lean muscle.
He looks like he can swim.
Yeah, exactly. It also boosts sex drive, libido, passion, and confidence, and it improves performance in the gym. That's it, man. I've been working out for years and years and years. I have to look up new workouts all the time. I have to, you know, figure out new fad diets. I open up all these magazines to see what's going on out there. Now, check this out. You can go buy a bottle of Test X180 Ignite at GNC right now, or, this sounds a little bit better, you can get a complimentary bottle right now, by texting REAL, R-E-A-L, to 202020. Take out your phone right now. Just text the word REAL to 202020. You're going to get a complimentary bottle of Test X180 Ignite. That's how sure they are that you guys are going to love this supplement. They're going to give it to you for free. That's crazy, okay? There's nobody else going out there making claims like this. They're just going to give it to you for free. If you don't like it, so what? You throw it away. Throw it in the garbage. Throw it at an enemy, you know? Test X180, it works in conjunction with your workouts, your muscle building routines, and your strength training regimens. You take this with what you're already doing, and I promise you right now, you guys are going to see better results. Make sure you text REAL to 202020. That's REAL to 202020, and get your complimentary bottle of Test X180 Ignite. And also, let us know how it's working for you, because I'm going to keep you guys filled in week to week and let you know how this is working for me.
Send Lewis all your photos with your shirt off.
I would love to see dude photos of their bodies. Yeah. All right. I want to talk about this really quick. Wait, Shannon, come back. I have to guess the news.
No, what about we never did it.
If you ever try to tell me how to host my own fucking show again, I swear to God, Fiendo,
that was so great. That was so sweetly innocent. But it's on the paper.
But Snowflake. I
jump around.
I just want to make sure the host is on.
I go where we go, baby. That's it.
I just want to make sure you're not avoiding it because you're kind of sensitive about it.
It's not
Section 3B on the paper typed out.
Yeah. No, I got this. Yeah, we're changing the guest the news, Fiendo. You see what you did to the show there? You got into my head. Let me just flow. Shannon, let's guess the news.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to know more information. I shouldn't have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Man, these guys don't know shit.
Shannon, also keep it on for the music. Keep it on for a little while. Don't cut it out right away. Yeah, Shannon, we're learning in real time. How to work. It's like a dance. I'm leading. She's got some moves. She's got a little spin. I like it. Curtsy. Yeah. So, Richard Spencer was punched in the face. Richard Spencer, I don't really know much about this guy, right? Now, I've heard many things. I've heard that he's like the leader of the alt-right. I've heard that he's a neo-Nazi. He's very controversial, apparently, this guy. Yeah. Before I watched the video of him being punched in the face by a random protester, Shannon, can you tell me a little bit more about Richard Spencer? What do we not know about this gentleman?
What do we not know about him?
Yeah, tell me about who is he? What is he?
He's a white supremacist.
Is he officially? Oh. Hold on, let me question. Is he admittedly a white supremacist?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
And is it supremacist? It's not supremacist.
I thought he denied it. I thought he denied being a neo-Nazi or one of those things.
He denied being a neo-Nazi, but he is a white supremacist. So on his Wikipedia page, he's a noted American white supremacist. He's a president of the National Policy Institute, a white nationalist think tank, and Washington Summit Publishers, which is an independent publishing firm.
That's why they wear hoods, so they don't get punched in the face when they go in public.
Yeah.
The people don't like that shit.
Okay. So, but look, can you maybe pull up some quotes? Pull up some Richard Spencer quotes. I want to hear what he said, because I need to, I already have my opinion on this. You know, I already know how I feel about punching somebody in the face for using words you don't like, right? And I think I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't, you know, feel this way across the board. This, for me, I try to look at things in life and I try to have philosophy, right? Like, to a certain degree. I know that sounds fucking ridiculous coming from me, but I really do. I truly believe that people can say, use the words that they want to use, and they should never be physically attacked for using the words that they decide to use, even if they're really fucking hateful words.
Come on. If someone was coming up to you just shitting on James verbally over and over and over to your face.
Punch him right in their face.
Well, there you go.
Hold on, you're not listening to me, okay? It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that human beings don't have moments of anger where they let go and lose control.
Sure.
I'm a human being. I've punched people in the face for using words. So it's not me saying that, it's not me being hypocritical, because I'm not celebrating that. I'm not saying that that's right. That's wrong. It's wrong for me to do that. In fact, if I did that in front of my son, if it was in front of my son, I probably wouldn't do that, because I wouldn't want to show my son me using physical force against somebody's words. If somebody tried to attack me or him, then I would try to, you know, then I would fight them. But yeah, people have talked shit when I was younger, and we've gotten into physical altercations, and I've hit people for saying things. You know, it's a little different. It's also a little different than this, because if this guy was coming up to a person going, "Hey, fuck you, fuck your family, get out of this country, you dirty fucking Mexican," and then the guy punched him, I feel like it's a little bit more. I go, like, I understand that moment of anger. I understand that moment where you go, like, you know what, dude, I'm fucking, I let go, and we're human. We all have it. This is a little different. This is a random protester in the moment of this guy giving an interview on television, running up and sucker punching a guy.
Can we see it?
For you, yeah. And using his words. That is, that. What's scary about that to me is we say things that people don't like, right? And I make jokes, and a lot of time those jokes are taken very seriously. People go like, yeah, fuck you, dude, for having that opinion. And I'm going like, oh, I don't actually have that opinion. I made a joke about Trump, or I made a joke about Obama, or whatever it is. To say people can just pick and choose randomly that line that they can cross, that they go like, well, now he's angered me enough to punch him. I don't like it being in the hands of those people that are willing to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like that right there is an issue. And the comedians that are celebrating that, in my mind, I'm going, guys, somebody might just punch you in the face for saying something you don't like one day. You should want that type of behavior to be punished to the absolute maximum capacity. Fuck what this guy was saying beforehand. Let's show the actual video.
I have a quote real quick.
Show the video, and then I want to hear some quotes. Let's do it. Fuck it.
And also, I want to note on this punch, too. The guy doesn't even punch him. He gives him, like, a forearm elbow.
Say those people don't like me.
Yeah.
So I'm saying he gives him elbows.
Yeah. Really punch him in the face for a little elbow. Richard Spencer walks away. Yeah.
But, dude, this is...
Lex Luger.
This is just like when there was
How did
that...
he not scream the N-word? I don't think he's really a fucking white supremacist.
But there was like that open micer that said the N-word at an open mic, and a black guy walked on stage and punched him in the face.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
Right.
We covered it extensively on the show. And let me explain to you, dude. I was very adamantly against that.
Against the punching or against
the fucking
guy
punching,
said,
dude. He was making a joke. You're another fucking comic. You're going to go hit a comic for making a joke. Here's the thing. This is a little different. These aren't jokes, right?
Well, right.
This guy's not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
This is a little different, right? There's so much nuance when it comes to all of this shit, right? But you almost have to look at things black and white, right? You can't punch people in the face for using words that you disagree with, okay? And even if those words are racist or hateful or whatever it is, it doesn't matter, dude. I hear so much hate and racism from both sides, right? And if we're just going to start using violence... If that's the reaction to using violence for and for people going like, all right, that's offended me enough to where I feel as if that's hate speech, we're going to start hitting each other. We are going to be in a fucking civil war. We're going to be killing each other in the fucking streets. That is my problem with that. And the people that are going like, oh, dude, fuck him. Every Nazi should be fucking punched in the face. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to be honest with you. those people aren't doing an ounce of research on who these fucking people are. Sure. They're just picking a side and saying, fuck that. That guy deserves to get punched in the face. And I don't want to live in a fucking country where people are punching each other in the face for having disagreements of thoughts and words.
That also ties back into social media, because that's why people, you can hide the people that don't disagree with you that disagree with you or unfollow them on Facebook, Twitter, anything. So now it's the echo chamber, you know, effect, yeah, where you're just hearing your own opinion shouted many times. That way when you hear somebody else, people go, ah, you know, and then they just fucking.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So like in my head, I thought it was this like white person who hit him, and now it was like a black person.
It was a white guy.
Yeah,
he just had a black hoodie on.
Trail mix. I thought it was that's funny. I thought it was a black person. All right.
I mean, I used to hang out with my old weed dealer was like a half black, half Dominican guy. Me and him and Dave Smith, I'm talking when I was like 19, me and Dave used to live together, 20 years old. We used to just sit in the apartment we rented. Me and Dave were roommates before we were doing comedy. We just smoked blunts with this guy all day. And this guy was his name was Jeff, cool guy, fucking super cool guy. But he was legit like Black Panther, like fucking hated white people. Talking about like, yeah, there's going to be a time, there's a race war, is like, you know, clocks will hit and we're going to raise up and riot. And it's like, you know, you got to pick and choose a side. It's like, Dave, you can be saved. Don't worry. You know, like that type of shit. Right. But he was just a fucking cool dude. We smoked blunts. And that's not what we talked about, that once in a blue, we'd get into some deep shit like that. Most of the time we'd play video games. 99% of the time we just fucking talk about a cartoon, South Park, whatever it is. Right.
South Park, Milton takeover.
But this guy legitimately had like felt that way. And he dealt with shit in his life that made him feel, he was raised a certain way. But to be honest with you, this was fucking, you know, 2002. We didn't give it. That didn't define us. The political sides and the thoughts that we had, those things were just kind of things that were little pieces of us, and kind of like, you know what, we're not going to really talk about that unless we were so deep into a conversation we would get into that. And that's the same way that I kind of feel about fucking white people that are racist, or just the idea of racism in general. It's like, I don't know, dude. If you're out physically attacking people or infringing on the rights of others, then I think, yes, your racism is a problem. But somebody like Anthony Scumia's racism, where he's sitting in a fucking, you know, big house in Long Island going like, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't let a black guy marry her. Who fucking cares?
Yeah, well, no, that's just funny.
And what the
fuck? I mean, he's just being funny. But this guy, I think it's a different thing when, you know, if this guy is publicly saying, yes, I'm like a white supremacist, because that doesn't happen often. So, like, you've given yourself that label and you're saying that you are, and you have a fucking Nazi haircut like he does. You're kind of putting yourself... When you're on the street and a bunch of black people are around and they go, oh, are you that fucking dude who hates black people? I mean, you should expect to get hit in the fucking face.
I agree.
I don't think it's right, but...
No. That's... By the way, none of us are in a disagreement here. Really, what my commentary on is comedians celebrating that. That's the
thing where
I'm going...
A lot of people posted that.
Yeah, I'm going like...
You fucking hate comics, dude.
Comics are...
I love it.
I hate comics?
Yeah. Every
comics. Every episode, they're not comics.
It comes too. Yeah, no,
they're not comics. There are people who are hiding behind an agenda. They're not trying to be funny. They're not comics. Yeah. There are people that are hiding behind an agenda, and that is the thing where I go. It's like, how is any comic celebrating somebody being punched for their words? That's crazy to me. That is just. It's. I don't even get it. I can't wrap my mind around it. Jen, give me some of his quotes.
Instead of asking how we can make reparations for slavery, colonialism, and apartheid, or how we can equalize academic scores and incomes, we should instead be asking questions like, does human civilization actually need the black race?
Hold on, slow down. Whoa.
Oh, fucking brass tacks. Hold on,
slow down. I get it. I get the forearm smash.
Whoa. Oh, back man. Up for a second.
Why are you guys even here? Oh, my God.
I'm sure you're not reading a typo here.
But how did he really feel?
Dude, it took a hard left. That was set up punch. If that was a joke, that was a perfectly constructed
roast
joke.
Roast battle, see?
That kind of fucking...
Battle!
Dude, that kind of overt racism just makes me laugh. It's so over the top. I just think it's funny.
There's more.
No, that was one of the best quotes I've ever heard. Like, I was not expecting it at all.
But do we
I was expecting him to say something even with a semblance of, like, intelligence.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Is black genocide right? And if it is, what would be the best and easiest
way? I don't want to be wrong. Oh, if black genocide's wrong, I don't want to be right.
And when can we start?
Is that his quote? Can we get t-shirts?
Almost. It's worse, actually.
It's worse? Oh, yeah. Shit. Right.
And if it is, what would be the best and easiest way to dispose of them?
I mean, obviously, watermelon traps.
Watermelon traps. solid trap.
Obviously.
Like you're pulling a string with string, the boxing
ball. Yeah. Yeah, you put a piece of watermelon. All right, here's the thing. You take a rope.
Oh, my God.
Relax. Hold on. You take a rope.
Comedy Central, I have nothing to do with this.
Hold on. Hear me out. It's going to sound out of context. It sounds bad. You take a rope. You tie it to a tree. Let me finish.
That's already happened before.
Yeah.
Let me finish, okay? You pull the tree down toward the ground, okay? You create a loop at the bottom of the rope. I've seen this in Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah.
You nail that into the ground, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay? You tie a rope to that nail. You go hide behind a bush. The black person comes to grab the watermelon. Their foot goes into the little loop. You pull the fucking pin. The tree snatches them by the foot. Whoosh, you caught a black person.
I saw this in fucking Predator.
Is that how they caught the Predator?
Yes.
Really?
You're one ugly motherfucker. Yes.
Can you pull up the Predator? Because they also have dreads. Maybe.
Oh, my God.
I knew it.
Maybe we need to go back to the old Predator movies.
God, those lips.
You know how in Freddy, in Nightmare on Elm Street, you had to go back to the first one to figure out how to kill Freddy? Like, later on, they figured it out? That's it. We got to go back to Predator. Can you pull up the Predator trap?
The Predator trap.
Go ahead. Pull it up on the big screen.
I think there's a few different traps, but I think it's at the end.
This might be it. It doesn't matter. Either way, we should take some advice from this.
I fucking love this movie. God damn it.
So good.
There it's old. It's so
there's the Predator. There's, oh, never mind.
He's right there.
What did I just say? What did I just fucking say?
You well, the funny part is, well, here's the funny part, though. It's a black dude's doing it. It's a black dude and a fucking Native American.
Apollo Creed.
Did I not? I want to know from the audio listeners, did I describe this perfectly or did I not? Just from an audio perspective, could you have used that as notes to build this trap? Because I think I fucking nailed it. Look at this.
So great.
Now, all you guys, you do this in Harlem. Isn't there that book, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn?
Yeah. There's so no
there's trees.
In
there's trees in the hood.
Are there?
Yeah, there's a book about it.
I think it was that one tree grew. That was it.
You gotta go to that tree. That one tree, guys.
I can't believe that this movie is 40 years old, dude.
No.
1987.
That's
30.
I'm
30s.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You moron.
I'm sorry. 10 years. Whatever.
Is that it?
30 still.
How many fucking men do they need? You don't need this many men.
I think this is just the same scene.
Yeah, I think it's the same scene over and over again, Shannon.
That's awesome.
It's fine. We got it. We know what's up. Pretty amazing. So if you want to know, if you want to answer the question, how to begin the black genocide, watch Predator, how they catch the Predator, and that's the question. So can I have some more quotes, Shannon? Anything else that he said? Because it's bad, obviously. It's bad.
I just found one tweet. It says, the wall is a symbol of the will to survive, #Trump.
That's definitely not as bad as do we need black people.
Yeah.
The first one, you should have closed with that one.
Yeah. That's a closer.
That right. That one's not that bad.
But I think that if anyone's ever going to be racist, they should just have Shannon read all their thoughts because it was kind of hot.
It's kind of cute, right?
Yeah, it was cute and hot and like fucking evil at the same time.
Shannon, can you pull up some Hitler quotes, please?
She's not.
Pull up some Hitler quotes.
We
should play a game, Hitler or Ford, and see whose quote it was. Because Gerald Ford has the best quotes. Dave Smith told me this quote. What a great quote this is. If I asked the people what they wanted, they would have told me a faster horse.
Oh.
Hitler.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The Jews must be exterminated. Every last one of them.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford. He had a lot of ideas, this guy. We must exterminate the Jews on an assembly line.
In Detroit.
Gerald Ford. There he is.
Why is that? Monkey run so fast.
Chris Tinkle.
Hitler.
Chris Tinkle.
Chris Tinkle. He says that a lot.
Jesse Owens.
Go ahead. What is it? Give me some Hitler quotes.
It is not truth that matters, but victory.
That's your point.
Make the lie big. Make it simple. Keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it.
Time out. Wait a minute. No, I don't want Hitler quotes picked out by people that hated him. If you wanted to pick out my worst quotes, I'm sure I sound worse than Hitler.
Yeah.
Give me some quotes that are celebrating.
Yeah, if you go back 4 minutes and play the watermelon trap.
Yeah. Get my face, sausage tits.
Significantly worse than anything Hitler ever said. You watermelon trap black people.
Oh, like they did that Arnold Schwarzenegger alien movie. Fuck.
Dude, here's the thing, though, about Hitler, which is crazy. I remember learning this in high school. Hitler was actually one of the most, like, and people give me shit for this because they think that that means I'm sympathizing or, like, away with it. It's not even a fact that he was, like, one of the best public speakers of all time.
Yeah,
like,
he was.
There was actually documented times where, like, women that were in his audience, like, got, like, had orgasms, full orgasms from his
speech. Throwing their bras at the stage, showing their tits.
And I'm not saying, I don't agree with anything. I'm just saying that, like, that's a crazy, that's why he was able to get that. Yeah. They said his fucking speeches were, like, electric.
Yeah, dude. Pyrotechnics.
He was like, he was like
t-shirt guns.
He was like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was like Austin.
Yeah, came out with the cans, you know?
Yeah.
There's two Jews.
I love it. So, Shannon, pull up the clip of Geraldo Rivera. You guys remember that fight?
Oh, yeah. Where he's
on a stage
bloodied
up. Where he broke his nose? This is what I was saying before about understanding, being in the moment and being angry enough to punch somebody in the face. I get it. You know, I get it. By the way, I don't know that guy's experience. Like, I punched him also. I don't know his experience. I'm not even demonizing the guy who punched him. Okay? That guy might have been fucking enraged enough in that moment. And he just said, fuck it, I let go. And look, it's a human error. Let's get real. You shouldn't punch people in the face, right? But I'm not demonizing that guy. I'm demonizing the comedians who speak for a living, celebrating that.
Celebrating the lack of free speech.
I mean, that's like celebrating somebody being attacked physically for using words. That is something that is like fucking like, no, fuck that. But in this moment, you'll see, and Shannon, just fast forward it to the part where the black guy gets up, right? Because they have these neo-Nazis on the stage, and the whole show, these guys are pieces of fucking shit, okay? They're legit pieces of shit. Richard Spencer, piece of fucking shit. Sure. Don't get it twisted. I'm not defending some fucking scumbag fucking racist, okay? Okay, I'm just saying being a racist isn't the worst thing in the world. There's worse fucking things, okay? But this guy's a piece of shit, okay? These guys are pieces of shit. So there's an older black man on this stage. This guy must be 65 years old, okay? And he gets, in the moment, he starts talking about it, and he starts walking toward them. And, God, you could play it from here.
No, let me tell you.
The audience is laughing because it's like an older guy.
You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. Hey, hold it. Hold it.
So the one guy gets up, and he
just take him by the
dude, the black guy starts just choking him. He goes over. All right. And then a big brawl. All right, you can turn
the
off.
Chair. I don't even understand why the chair.
I think the Nazis.
Yeah. Mankind.
And we talked about that, too. It is one of the best weapons you could have.
Chair?
It's a hard fucking chair. It's like prongs everywhere. Just you're taking out a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if you throw it at a fucking angle.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. Okay, it's like a fucking gigantic Chinese star.
Yeah.
It's one of the best weapons you could have in the world, okay? Just a chair. Just fling that shit. Amazing, okay? But the black guy, in the moment, dude, it's a fucking 6-year-old, 5-year-old black guy. This is, what, 89, 90?
But you saw how fucking smug those white dudes were, where he's like, sit down, bro.
Sit down,
like,
yeah.
that fucking level smug makes you want, and when they go to stand up, just being like, comment, and then, you know, that's all it takes.
He got caught up, dude.
Yeah,
he got caught up in the moment,
takes.
Dude. And this fucking white guy is going, yeah, fuck you people, you should be exterminated. And this guy who's like, lived through real shit, dude. He's 65 years old. Let's say he's 65. That's 1990. This motherfucker lived through it. I'm talking about lived through legit civil rights movement, okay? Not the same way people are going today, like, oh, Black Lives Matter. It's pretty good fucking times compared to the 50s and 60s. Let me tell you something,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, he had a separate water fountain, definitely.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
That only served stay nights.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I understand the moment, dude. He's there. He starts fucking choking this guy. Of course. I completely get it, you know? I can't demonize that. But at the same time, that's also not what happened there. In that video, you know, it's not a guy who, I believe it's a white guy. I don't want to say the guy's name because I know that they doxed the guy and they gave the guy's information out.
Guy who did the sucker punch?
The guy who punched
him. They found who it was?
Yeah, people on 4chan found him and they gave his info out. And I don't want to be a part of that. That's like literally Richard Spencer puts himself out there and that's what he does. I don't want to be a part of giving out people's information that didn't want it to be out there. You know what I'm saying? You know, and like I said, I'm not really demonizing this guy.
The only thing he should be used for is if he's going to fucking press charges against him.
Yeah, charges should be pressed against him accordingly. And to be honest, he probably won't go to jail. Okay, people were freaking out about the black guy that punched, I don't know, that was a white guy that punched a black guy at the Trump rally, right? It was an old white guy. That's fucking great. The 80-year-old white guy just fucking forearm smashed young black dude.
Yeah, I remember that.
Never mind. Forget the point I was just going to make.
Fucking Donald Trump. There's been a lot of old white people fighting lately.
It's all... Look, and I said this when Donald Trump first got in there. It creates this, like, volatile thing. And look, maybe he'll be good. I don't know. Apparently, he signed a bunch of executive orders and...
Started to sign the wall order today.
Yeah, so...
To start building the wall.
Have a fucking wall. Yeah, that's silly.
No. I also feel like Mexican people, like, they'll find a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to keep anybody out. You think that they just can't. You think that how tall, you know, the fact that there was like, it would cost billion, everything about it is absolutely insane.
And you don't think all the minorities aren't going to take a trip down there and just fucking spray paint it and tag it? It's going to look awful in like a month.
Or you could just take a boat from where the wall, you know what I mean? Go to the California coast, just go on a boat and then go up 10 miles and then go back in. I mean, it's fucking.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a fucking. There's a shitty tone to people in general right now. There's like a shitty tone in the air.
Being on going on social media, this is the worst time I can ever remember on social media. Going on Facebook, every goddamn post is about Trump, anti or pro Trump, or just anything about politics. Where it's like, I hate politics so much. And also, what the fuck happened to just not sharing publicly your political
views. Religious beliefs,
you
or
keep
social
that
beliefs.
Shit to your. There's some shit
keep
that
it
you
ball
just,
up inside.
Yeah, people never. My dad has never once in my life told me who he's voted for, and he never will. He never will.
Well, there's a reason that it's anonymous.
That's the reason that
you pull a fucking curtain close and you do it anonymously because you're not supposed to tell people. You're supposed to say, "Hey, dude, we're all going to make it work, no matter who's fucking in office. We're all going to love each other and try to make it work." And to be honest, the powers that be are typically supposed to just be dicks. That's the one thing that Gavin McGinnis did nail, one of the perspectives that he has that I really do like. He was like, what happened to the youth being like punk rock, fuck authority, no matter who it is?
Right.
It's like
instead of going to Bernie Sanders rallies.
Yeah, the youth is just like,
80-year-old.
What is going on? How is the youth fucking like picking a side? You're being tricked. They're both of the authority. You're supposed to be fucking saying fuck authority.
Rage Against the Machine, baby.
Yeah, what happened? What happened?
Rage broke up. That's what fucking happened.
The Women's March happened too. We got a little bit of time left here. Women's March happened.
Girlfriend went there.
Did she go?
To Washington, D.C., yep.
Did you march?
No. Shannon, can somebody explain to me, okay, when you ask a woman now, what is it about, okay? A friend of mine posted this almost on Facebook. You know, just the attitude of like, it's not your, is it? We don't have to tell you what it's about. I'm not gonna have to mansplain to you what's going on here. Okay, figure it out. We're like, whoa, ladies.
Yeah.
Let's just fucking talk. Like, let me know what's going on here. Maybe I can help. Maybe I can be a valuable resource to you and your cause. I'm a dude. I can lift shit. I could probably figure out some tech shit that you guys might have some issues with.
Yeah.
You know.
If I'm not mistaken, they said that was the largest peaceful protest in the documented in history.
Yeah,
2.5 million people.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let people in from Canada try to come in to protest.
Fuck
they wouldn't, they wouldn't
build
let
a wall
them
up there. That's what I say.
Yeah. Keep us in.
Yeah. Shannon, why, in your own words, Shannon, don't just read it off of Wikipedia. You're a woman.
If I wasn't there, I don't have problems with my rights at this moment. So
what
I'm
a
good.
Fucking
I
real
can tell
way.
You why my girlfriend went. It's because she's terrified that we're going to lose health care. That and there's a bunch of other things in that kind of vein. She thought that she should
Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. She's one of my kids. So she thought that she should walk.
Well, here's the thing: the Planned Parenthood thing. It's kind of a difficult subject, right? So Planned Parenthood. I know that only a small percentage of what they do is abortions, right?
2%.
But they also, you know, they do a big part of it is birth control. Mm-hmm. Now, there people have. The right of freedom of religion, right? So if you're legitimately Christian or Muslim or I'm sure in the Jewish faith too, I don't know, but I'm assuming as well in the Jewish faith, birth control goes against your religion. So technically, you're making the public fund a company that is infringing on your freedom. That's the way that I feel about it. I don't think that we should have to fund companies that we don't believe in their message, right? So I don't believe that we should have to fund a war. Here's my opinion. I think that we should be able to opt in and out of certain tax programs. So if you want to opt in to support Planned Parenthood, you can utilize the services that it provides. If you don't opt in, you don't have to support that. Your tax dollars can be allocated to the things that you want to support, whether it be war or, like, obviously certain things you have to do, like, you know, bridges and you know,
schools
and certain things, but maybe not. If you don't have any kids and you're not utilizing the school system, why technically should you have to pay for those schools?
Whereas, I guess that comes down to because we're living in a society. You know what I mean?
So, but like, you don't want a bunch of fucking animals running around.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what? How many people, especially in a city where there's mostly, where there's a lot more like single people, you know what I mean? That it's like, so then just the people that do have kids are going to be, I mean, New York City school is already terrible as it is. Can you imagine if all of the people who didn't have children in New York didn't pay any tax towards that?
I'm going to sound like Dave
Smith
here, but imagine we weren't pumping billions of dollars into wars and we just took all of that money and then allocated it into all of these programs that could actually help people.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's my opinion, right? And I'm pro-choice. I believe in a woman's right to choose, okay? But I also have a kid, and I understand why people think that it's a life. I understand why at 6 weeks, if you look at a kid's heartbeat, you go, that's a life. I get it. I completely get it. Because in my opinion, that was the beginning of my kid's life when I first saw that heartbeat, right? So you're literally making people that truly believe, like with all of their heart, that is not right and that they shouldn't have to pay for that. I don't know if it's right to necessarily make those people do it. You know, that's just the way that I feel about it.
Separation of church and state. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
It's supposed to be fucking separate, you know?
Dave posted something about if everybody that was rallying for Planned Parenthood, you know, put in like $20 a year to Planned Parenthood, we would make up the funding that the government gives it. You know, there are ways to do it. I mean, that's the truth. People opt in and out. There was that thing, the plumbers went into Detroit, right? There was like 30 plumbers or 300 plumbers or something. Look that up. The plumber
difference in number. There's like three people or like 1,000. Showed up.
Who knows? Look up the story about the plumbers that went into Detroit and they just said, "Fuck it, we're gonna put filters into these things because people are fucking drinking
Flint,
this shitty
in
water."
In Flint, Michigan.
In Flint. Yeah. It was. Well, look up the number. It was like 330. It was like
really bad with numbers.
3 million. I don't
you gotta
know.
Stop
remember
saying
that time that you said that rhinos kill 7 million people every year? We're like, what? That can't be right, dude. What? Like,
said 7 million?
Yeah, dude, it was like three. No, it was like he was like a couple hundred thousand.
No, it was mosquitoes. I was reading the stats for mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes kill that
they
many
kill
people
a lot
a
of
year?
Fucking people. Mosquitoes are motherfuckers.
Millions?
What is Come it? On. How many was it, Shannon? 300?
I'm getting like numbers.
It was probably a fake ass fluff piece anyway. It probably wasn't even true. But the point is, people will go and fucking help each other out. You know what I'm saying? But the women's march. So, look, I get it. You know, I get protesting. I just feel like there's a lot of the people that protest and just kind of look up to the sky and go, why? In my opinion, I'm going like, just utilize your time better. Do something, whatever it is, whatever it is. If you believe in a cause, like let's say it's Planned Parenthood, I just feel like you can use all those people marching. There's 2.5 million people marching. Do a fucking food drive. Do a fucking go out and stand in front of a supermarket and collect donations. I think you guys can do it. If you have that much power, why is it forcing your political, religious, and social beliefs onto half the country? Why is that the thing?
I don't agree with that, though. Because that's what a peaceful protest is all about. That's what we have the right to
pull
do.
Pull Madonna's quote.
They don't go around and like hand flyers
that,
out.
The
to
fact
people,
that more just... people did that than were at the inauguration, you know what I mean? That's a lot for a lot of people who may not realize in, you know, other parts of the country, like, oh shit, this is a real thing. Like when the peaceful protest for stop segregation, the same
Brother,
thing.
It's
with...
a hashtag that's going to come and go in 2 weeks. I'm telling you right now. Showing up and standing there and crying and holding a sign and watching a concert because that's what they fucking did. I'm telling you right now, it's not a practical solution. I believe Madonna, Alicia Keys, you know, in my opinion, there's practical things that you can do. And I take my opinion about the causes out of it. Okay. And if you have 2.5 million people, do you know how much energy that can create? Do you know what that can do? Just the message. People forget that we are in a time where news is at our fingertips nonstop. We don't open up a newspaper or turn on the 6 o'clock news anymore. Every single day we need something new and sexy. That's over. That fucking march is gone. Dunno.
Yeah, but it happened though.
It's a week later.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a week later and it's disappearing. The next thing is taking its place.
Okay, so like nothing may have happened in that day, but the fact is that all those people who went sacrificed all. I mean, I heard there were like families there, so people were like fucking flew in from everywhere. People had to get hotels. People spent a lot of money.
You gonna cry? What? You gonna cry?
She told me I had to cry. She told me. I don't give a fuck what those clams did. Honestly, I don't care. But that's I was home jerking off the fucking underage porn the whole time.
Dude, imagine the smell of that rally. 2.5 million pussies.
And they all got the periods at the same time, I heard.
Oh, yeah. They all synced it up. Synced.
But that's what I'm saying, though, man. It's like you think about that. Did I think that did send a message. If it's not only because of that social media aspect trending on Twitter for days, but also right after the inauguration, there's that many people. You know, and it was more than the turnout for the inauguration. I mean, that's a, that says something.
Yeah, his party bombed, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what's trending.
It kind of made me sad. It's like when like a kid has like a party at like a bowling alley and like three people show up and you're like, ah, fuck.
Cool. And right now trending is Tiger Woods, best fan army, 1980s painting. That's what's trending right now on Twitter. This woman's march is not, I'm telling you right now, it's going to, within a month, nobody will talk about it anymore. Pull up, and you're talking about peaceful protesting, and I believe in that, okay? And I'm not even against the cause and what these women are marching for, but pull up what Madonna said, which is kind of crazy.
Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged.
Starts making out with Ariana Grande.
Yes.
She doesn't have the British
accent
anymore.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
What?
Yeah, you can't.
Press pause.
But
okay.
Now,
fucking dumb bitches don't know how to build a bomb. Shut up. That's why you need men there. Fucking dumb.
She saw MacGyver once. She was like, you can build a bomb with lipstick and a thumbtack.
Shut up. Like, you're going to build a bomb, you fucking dummy. You can't even write a song anymore.
But also, that's like an act of terrorism, saying that.
I don't think that's insane. Somebody tweeted that. Does somebody,
in front
is
of
she
the
Muslim
White
now?
House,
is,
on government property.
Is, look up if Madonna's Muslim. Because somebody tweeted that. They were like, if just let's say it was a brown man that was raised in America that moved out of the country, converted to Islam, moved back 10 years later, and then said to a crowd of 2.5 million people, I thought about blowing up the White House. This person would be being waterboarded
right now.
Right now,
yeah,
I mean, it would be fine. It's crazy. Is she Muslim?
It says she follows Kabbalah since 1996.
Kabbalah?
She's all over the place.
My weed dealer?
I was going to say, I think it's an Indian place near my house.
Wait a minute. The Ugandan giant? That's her god.
Dude had those fucking moons on his titties. He's my favorite, dude. A star on titties and a moon on his tummy. I was like,
his tummy.
Yeah. That was, yeah.
She follows Kamala.
Maybe
Uganda
that's my problem.
Giant. That's her god.
Yeah. When I was little, they're like, what do you want to be? Kamala's son? Okay. You're not going to.
It says her current partner is Muslim, so she's begun investigating Islam.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck off.
Look, dude. That's just it's an irresponsible message. You have a lot of people that are fucking listening, dude. You know? There's going to be an assassination attempt on Trump's life. There's no doubt about it.
I don't think so. I felt like there was more of a chance of that happening to Obama.
No fucking way.
Well, see, I actually thought that, but then if you think about it, pretty much the only presidents who've been assassinated are the ones that people liked for the most part. It was just a few people who didn't like them.
That's what I'm saying. Obama, you know what I think about? Obama was kind of like our generation's Kennedy. You know what I mean? It was like a young, personable, likable dude who was a great public speaker. And
Kennedy wouldn't fall for a watermelon trap.
I mean, that's its own situation. I'm never going to be, this is never going to be me on record agreeing with that idea. I want to have a career. You know what I mean?
I mean, we're naming this episode Watermelon Trap.
Oh, well, that's great. I mean, after last night, too, the fucking, Jay was like those British colonists hanging.
That
British
was so funny.
It may not be. It might. He might be right.
I gotta say, also, great job in the roast battle last night, Mike Fiend Dog.
Thank you, buddy. I don't know what you were coming in for that. Thank you.
Fiend did a great job. Go watch Roastmasters on Gas Digital Network if you can. If you're a subscriber, if you're not a subscriber, go subscribe. Fuckfaces, you get two weeks for free if you use the promo code RAP at GasDigitalNetwork.com. You get to watch this show live, Legion of Skanks, Bruce Buffer show. It's time. Shame on. Hammer Fisting with Chris Tinkle. All these amazing shows on the Gas Digital Network. Use the promo code REP, 14-day free trial, and you also get to watch the Roastmasters live and as it happens. And they only put a few of the battles out every week on YouTube, so you get the entire Roastmasters.
That was a lot of fun.
Gas Digital. You killed it, dude.
Finnegan or Beast, too, man. Those guys are great.
Fiend Dog had the battle of the night, though, so go watch it. It was fucking really good. What was the one joke? He was battling an Indian girl named Suba, who's a fucking great comic, really funny.
She had great jokes.
Writer, too. great roast writer. What was the one joke that you had about
the last one?
The red dot?
Yeah. I said that Suba used to wear the traditional red dot on her forehead, but got rid of it when all the comics she fucked thought that they only had a minute left.
Solid joke. Great joke. Yeah, that's big pop. Fucking really good. So
I didn't fuck it up like I just did then.
Yeah, yeah. He nailed the landing, which is so important. Like, but, not only in roasting, but in comedy in general. I don't think people realize how sensitive it is.
Like just then when I fucked up and I said she
instead of
they.
If you flub a word, that's it. They're not going
to
laugh.
Especially if you're like fucking like being mean to someone or saying or like calling someone, you know.
Especially a guy making fun of a girl too. And so, and that's
and erased and then you stumble on it. It's like, oh, fuck
you. The thing that Dave said that really made, that I was surprised too, is he was like, I can't believe, because the audience really got behind that. And what I was like, I was worried that it was only going to play to the comics because I don't know that people know about the light.
The red light,
you know what I mean? But apparently
it's commonplace enough, especially also at like a roast battle show where a lot of them are comedy fans.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's a specific joke, but it actually speaks volumes to how much stand-up comedy has become a part of the culture. People understand what a bringer is.
Yeah. I think people, like the old, you used to give people the hook and now it's like the light, you know
Yeah,
what
people
I mean?
Understand that. Yeah. You know, people, when you, people do that all the time, like a joke where it's like you have to bring five friends to be there on roast battles, they land all the time.
Yeah.
People understand what that is now.
Even like when people say kill it, like I never heard anyone say kill it like 10 years ago, and now just everyone says it about everything all the time. It's like, very interesting.
Kill it, it's hanging from the tree in that watermelon trap.
God damn it, dude. And our fans know that's a callback. All right. Yeah.
Comedy 101.
Comedy 101.
Oh shit.
Judy Carter book.
Oh fuck. All right. Let's see. Let's get some questions going. Good show so far.
Give me a fucking answer! 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 Give me a fucking answer!
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
You know what's up. Questions, post them to my Facebook, facebook.com/LewisJGomezComedy, the morning of the show, usually around 9, 10 o'clock, I usually will post something. Post your questions below that. I think, I'm not going to say that, never mind. So, I want to get to this one, because this guy said, I really want you to answer this, and I think this is a great question, and I want to make sure we get to this one, so I'll do it first. This is Reed, says, I gambled all of the money me and my wife and kids had. My mother-in-law lost her husband, lost her house, moved in with me and my wife. The only money from her husband she had went into my savings account. They wouldn't try to get it from her since they took her house. I gambled all of that too. And so my wife kicked me out. I quit gambling, but she's giving me shit about finding a second job to pay that money back I owe her. But she wants me to get a job delivering pizza if I have to. But I feel like I'm worth more than $8 an hour. And eventually I'll have a good job and not one okay job and one terrible job. What do I do, Louis J. Gomez?
Is that real?
It's real.
Why the fuck is that person coming to this podcast for that answer? They should be in fuck. And I'm not saying against your pocket. This is like a person who belongs in a fucking support group somewhere.
Therapy, yeah.
They have a fucking gambling addiction, and they're asking like, oh, should I not?
Can I tell you
why? Deliver a fucking pizza. Pay your wife back, you fucking monster.
Fiendo, can I tell you why? You just lost a fan. Good job, Fiendo. You just lost a fan.
I mean, he's just gamble away.
He's also not a stable guy. I probably wouldn't go against him that hard, but that's fine. So here's the deal, Feeny. Here's what you got to understand. Okay, we talked about it at the top of the show, that image of the person sitting there eating an ice cream cone next to the picture on the wall, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the time, these podcasts, people feel as if they're sitting in the room with us. We have a different type of connection with our fan. The reason that advertisers pay us more money to advertise on our podcast than they do on radio shows, television, or print is because I have a much different connection with my fan than some fucking local yokel radio host guy or just somebody looking at a billboard walking down the street, right? The type of connection that we have, they grow with us. I was talking about this last week on the show. It's like, if you listen to me on podcasts for the past 6 years, you've watched me go from being, not having a kid, not having a television credit, not having...
You have a girlfriend, you had no kid, and now you have a kid and no girlfriend.
Yeah, it's crazy. You things are up is down. Down is up in my life.
Yeah.
But the connection that people feel with podcasts, it's really unlike anything else, right? And I think that's one of the reasons why I love it, and I think it's why people fall in love with these shows, and they feel as if they would come to somebody like you or I or whoever because they go, hey, you know what, dude? I've heard everything you've fucking gone through, right?
Yeah.
And they can see, maybe he sees himself in me. He's not asking Dave this question, right. You know what I'm saying? I got a kid. I fucked up.
I'm
not in a relationship
being sober
anymore.
And stuff like that. Like I can't tell you how many people reach out to me and it's all the time. Yeah, it's just like all the time. It's, I mean, it's cool. It's like people.
So that's why Feeney is not going to a fucking support group. Because
I mean, he should.
But I'm just saying that person.
He should also probably do that. That's probably my advice.
Well, yeah, but my thing is not. I'm not even trying to shit on the person so much as I'm saying like you. If you're that bad, I don't think you have the right to have the pride to be like I deserve better than a pizza job. It's like if you fucked up the
life
that bad.
That's what he has to be told right now. Yeah,
and let me give him advice on this. Okay. Here's the deal. Okay, Reed. You fucked up. You really fucked up. You fucked up really bad, right? You got to accept that. Obviously, you probably have. You and your wife had that conversation. You got to make a decision whether or not you want to be back with that family and in that household, right? You got to make a decision whether or not you want to make that relationship work. And if you want to make it work, you have to swallow your pride and you have to fill in that fucking hole that you dug. You dug a fucking deep hole. And the only way to do that is by literally just giving yourself into your wife's wishes, okay? If there's a great job waiting down there later on, go fucking get it by all means. You know what I'm saying? But to be honest with you, probably the most important thing in the world is being back in that home with those kids. The most important thing is you and his mother getting along in front of them. That is, I look at pictures of this guy. He's got kids, he's got young kids. You know what I'm saying? That is the thing that is the only thing that fucking matters is those fucking kids growing up and looking at their mom and dad making it work and being proud of their father. So you have to swallow your pride now, right now. It's going to fucking suck. Deliver pizzas, give fucking hand jobs at a booth. I don't give a shit, dude. But make sure if you have an opportunity to make it work, make it work.
It's also like not about the money. It's about the idea that, look, man, I fucked up bad. I'm going to do this shitty thing. I'm going to take pizzas around a bunch of college kids. It's going to be fucking terrible. But you're showing, hey, man, I messed up, and now I'm trying to make amends by doing this. And then not only his wife, but the family around her will be like, you know, if you're doing that for a year or even 6 months, they're like, man, look, he's trying. He fucked up. He's trying.
Yeah. And with that said, also disassociate yourself from the group that you might be around that might be negative influences to you. That
don't watch the Super Bowl. Holy fuck.
Yeah. No. Don't be joining any fucking Super Bowl pools and boxes.
And if you're serious, I actually have a really good friend who's in the gambling program. Dude, this guy fucking shit away two different inheritances, one from his mom, one from his dad. He left like $1 million out on the table in Vegas. And if you want to talk to me, you can hit me up. Dude, that gambling, dude, that's, I mean.
So it's a strange thing.
I'm addicted
to
that.
I can't imagine it.
I can't tell you how grateful I am that I don't have that one. I have all the other ones, but not that one, dude. Yeah.
Vegas, you can gamble on anything. You can gamble that the referee trips and his way to flip out the coin at Super Bowl. You can make all of those kind of bets.
Just imagine when he took his headphones off because we're talking about gambling so much, he just threw them on the ground.
Oh, my friend was going crazy. He was just like, as he was getting towards the bottom of it, he said it was some Super Bowl, and he had this sheet with all of his bets on it, and he had like maybe 40, 50 bets, and his sister picked up the sheet. She's like, well, who are you going to cheer for? He's like, I don't know. Like, he had so many different bets going on.
Right.
And none of it made any sense.
Yeah.
And it was all like.
Look, gambling can be a lot of fun. I get it. I get why gambling is a fun thing. I don't understand the addiction to gambling, you know.
Well, that rush when you win,
it's like
feels
the juice.
Good.
I don't. I always gamble and assume that I'm going to lose.
Well, that's what you got to go. That's the way I go in too. And you got to also have a cert. I'm going in with, you know, $300. Once that's gone, there's no more money. Yeah. And every time I lose that money, I'm like, if I just take out another $100.
That's how it starts.
I don't.
As soon as that thought goes in your head, where it's like, well, the universe isn't going to let me lose another $100, dude. You fucking walk away, dude. You're not that special.
Yeah.
The universe will kick
your nuts. Always wins, baby.
Ryan says, I have a baby due in a couple days. How can I maximize the amount of likes his pictures get on Facebook? You and James are our idols. That's the thing with a new baby. It's like you have so many pictures that you don't use with them looking like garbage. You start to understand how women are. I bet, Shannon, I bet in your phone you have like fucking every photo you post, there's like 25 versions of it that aren't the fucking right angle. You don't look the way you want to look, whatever it is.
Bad lighting.
Yeah.
Lighting. Lighting's very important.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, that's the kind of cool thing about social media as well, though, is like they're all kind of out there. Like the pictures, like I don't have to worry about photo albums. I kind of just have all of my pictures. Like,
see, I miss the photo albums, though, because if Facebook goes away someday, you've lost your James's entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. Cloud, bro. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you do it? Yeah, dude, I mean, My pictures are particular. I also have a particularly cute kid.
Smiling pictures, obviously. I don't like the pictures where they're laying, they're in like a fucking crib or something, and they're just like looking up. They just look like a bag of fucking
affection.
Meat.
You need affection, or you need an animal. If you get an animal with the baby, a dog or a cat preferably. Don't put him with a fucking like boa constrictor.
Anything with a dog like stomping on a little baby's head is always funny.
Yeah. Just like, that's like maximum cuteness. You know?
Get a puppy in there for sure.
Yeah, you get a puppy, you get a fucking little ice cream cone with like ice cream all over his face.
Yep. Maybe the Cheerios are kind of all over the place, you know?
What?
You know, and the kids are sitting in the high top with the Cheerios, and then they're like, they're trying to play. Fuck you. You know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
God damn it.
Cheerios all over the
watermelon
place.
Watermelon traps, you know?
Watermelon traps? There we go. Now we're getting it. Excuse me. Let's see. Charles says, should I lie on my resume?
Yes.
It depends. Depends on what type of job.
The answer is yes.
Probably. You should probably lie on your resume. I don't believe that anybody's going to ever really check into it, but you can't lie about major facts.
It's not lying. Good, it's fake it till you make it.
Good jobs, if you just make up a job altogether, any good job will call for the reference, you know?
Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand how they haven't figured this out. Why wouldn't I say I worked for fucking, you know, Dixon Cheese Incorporated, right? And give Chris Tinkle's name and number. And just have them call, like any one of my buddies.
They do that, but if they want a business line sometimes, he's got to be answering. It's like that Seinfeld episode. Yeah. He's got to be answering Vandalay Industries. Otherwise, they're going to go, why are you giving me this guy's personal phone
number? That's not the name of it. It was Dixon Cheese.
Dixon Cheese Industries.
Yeah, but I'm saying the Seinfeld reference.
Dixon Cheese.
That's the right number.
Yeah.
No, I'm funnier than Seinfeld. Everyone knows that.
Okay,
fact.
Sure. Yeah.
Fact. But what
Riding
type
on the
of fucking
subway,
job?
Smoking weed with Luis Gomez. That should be your show.
Yeah. I feel like you can lie about little things, like, you know, the school you went to. Nobody's checking.
That's not true.
That's the one thing you shouldn't
lie about. I used to work for a background screening company that did exactly that, and they would double check the school, the years that you claimed to work in a place.
Don't listen to Shannon.
She
has no experience in this industry.
What? Really?
Yeah, it was my job for 7 years.
Okay, hold on. This is good, actually. Shannon, give this guy some advice. What can he lie about? What can he get away with?
So it does depend on what type of job you're going for, like how high up it is.
Because a lot of companies aren't going to go to a separate screening company to do it for like a lower end job.
Right. And then also the details that they're able to obtain vary based on pretty much like the salary that you're going to be making. Also, beyond 5 or 7 years, also depending on the job, you don't have to be so specific. So you can lie a little bit about a job that
older
you had
jobs.
Longer ago. Yeah, because they usually don't keep those records anymore.
You know what I did? When I was trying to get restaurant jobs in New York City, everybody wants like 5 years experience. I had never worked a restaurant job, made up
Sucked
5 years of experience, and also just said that the three ones that I worked at the longest, which were years ago, closed. So how are you going to call?
But
sorry,
I
that restaurant
I would
went out
see
of business.
That, and that would be a red flag.
But not
for
all
me.
Of them. Some
I would
of
say,
them.
Cool, everything that I can check has closed, according to this guy.
Well, no, just the
I
longest
would, I
relation.
Would rather risk it. I used to do this with apartments, right? Because what they do is they charge you like a $50 or $100 fee to do a background or credit check for apartments. And when you're dealing with landlords, I know they're just pocketing that fucking money.
Yeah.
I know they are. So you know how many apartments I've gotten in New York City? And it's only with a landlord. You can't do it with a real estate company because the real estate companies will actually check. But if you're dealing with kind of like a person you could tell is not maybe... You know, like, it's not like an office in a huge building.
Right.
Maybe it's just a brownstone with, a three or four families in it. You can just literally say, I have great credit. Give them the money. Half the time, they're not even checking your credit. Half the time, they get 400 or they get 40 applicants and they get to pocket like $2,000 just in application fees.
Sure.
It's part of the game. So
that is the worst when you hand them money. You're like, I think I just bought them a bottle of wine.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Let's see. One more question. Willis wants to know, starting a podcast soon. Any advice on someone who's starting or who's new to podcasting? I wrote a whole blog. Go to guestdigitalnetwork.com. Click on the blog section. I had 5 tips. You know what? I'll fucking 5 tips on starting a new podcast. You guys could read them a little bit more in detail. I think I'm going to do a follow-up, which is going to be, 5 tips on how to get your podcast to the next level and bump up listenership. Because starting and launching a successful podcast is different than growing it, monetizing it, etc.
It's so good to see you started writing.
Here it is, guys. Top 5 tips for launching a successful podcast. Number 1, make sure your audio quality is high. Here's the deal, right? People have millions of choices at this point. If you don't sound good and there's little clicking, there's little, dipping in and out of the audio, your voice is peaking, whatever it is. If there's issues with the audio and it doesn't sound audibly pleasing, it's not going to grow. People aren't going to want to continue to listen to your podcast. Simple as that. In my opinion, that's something that's really important. It's so fucking cheap to buy equipment. You could buy a Zoom recorder and a couple mics and a pair of headsets for, you know, $300. You have an entire setup. That's the setup that Ari Shaffir uses. It's a $300 setup. He has a podcast that has hundreds of thousands of listeners. Okay, $300. You have an entire setup. It's going to sound as good as any radio show out there. Consistency is key. Put it out at the same time, same place, every single fucking week. Make sure people don't have to run around to find it. Think about when you're on Bumble, right? And you're swiping through on a girl, right? And you're looking at her pictures. And she got a picture with, the first picture is three girls. You're like, which one is it? You go to the second picture. It's two girls. You're like, oh, which one is it? You go to the next picture. It's four girls. Like, stop making me fucking search
right.
for you. Left. Goodbye. I don't give a fuck. Peace. I'm out. I'm moving on to the next pitch. That's what podcasting is. Okay. If they have to find you and they have to put in the extra work to go and find you. Sorry, bitch. I'm swiping left. There's another fucking hot slut ready to suck my dick right there. Okay. There's so many options out there. So if there's any extra work for them to have to find you, they're not going to do it. Do a demo is my third tip. This is what you did, Feeny.
Yeah.
You guys did a fucking demo with us. You said, oh, it sounds good. We'll put it out. You don't have to put it out. You can do a demo. No, get the bugs out.
You got to get used to talking, conversating with one another. Thankfully, we smashed it on the first time, so you should check it out on iTunes. Goodbye. But yeah, most times.
You guys did nail it. You did great. It is a very funny podcast, by the way, guys. You should check it out. Number four, don't think about money yet. I have so many people that come to our network that go like, yeah, I want to do a podcast with you guys, but let's start talking about money right away. And that's my first red flag to go, I don't really want to work with this person because that person isn't trying to create content. That person's thinking about right away, how can I make the quick buck as quick as possible, right? And there's been a lot of bigger podcasts that we've turned away that either they had a show or they were a name and they were just too focused on the money, too focused on how quickly they could, you know, make thousands of dollars off their show. And I would rather I would rather work with people that said, I want to make a really good show, and that will definitely monitor. It'll take years. If you do a show, don't expect to make any money for the first year starting a podcast.
Sure.
Okay. Honestly, don't really expect to make any money. You know,
don't expect anything.
Yeah. Expect to create a good piece of content that people will listen to and enjoy. And then last but not least, ask your friends and fans to share. People don't promote. You know, people are so afraid to come off as desperate. People are so afraid to come off as, you know, self-promoters.
Annoying. Yeah.
Yet you have to fucking tell your people to share it. You know, if you listen to this show right now, the only thing you could do, if you don't want to subscribe to our premium service, if you don't want to buy a t-shirt, if you don't want to fucking spend money with us, if you don't want to go to a live show, fuck all that. Go tell five friends about this show. You've done more than all of that other shit combined.
Yeah.
You tell five friends about the Real Ass Podcast right now. If you go and literally just write an email, say, hey, dude, I think you're going to enjoy this show. Or if you're sitting in a car on a road trip and you turn it on and say, dude, you're going to like this. This is interesting and funny. That is so much more valuable over the long term than buying anything or paying for a service, whatever, dude. What you have to do as a content creator is you have to ask people to share it, and you can't be afraid to fucking ask people to share it, especially if you believe in it. People want to be ambassadors for something that's new and cool. You look at something like Cumtown, right? Nick Mullen's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They launched and they hit the ground running because it was different. It was cool. It was new. People wanted to be a part of it. But if you're embarrassed to promote your shit, how the fuck do you expect other people to promote your shit? How in the world would you expect anybody else to go like, oh, I'll take the ball and run with it. No problem. Yeah. Sit there and fucking talk into a microphone, jerk off.
I do seem to remember a comedian that was a little perturbed, another comedian who's tagging them in updates about promoting their albums.
Yeah, I'll also try to fist fight you if you tag me daily promoting your album on my fucking Facebook wall. Okay, that's a little different. If that comic would have said to me, this would happen, a comic would tag me 100 comics and be like, hey, my album's here. And then it would show up on their walls. So all my fans are seeing, you know, their album. Once or twice, like, I just deleted it or I'll untag myself or whatever. I'm like, I had to hit him up. I'm like, dude, stop fucking doing that. I was like, you don't really use my wall to promote your shit. If he would have said to me, hey, dude, I have an album coming out. I want to promote it. I would have invited him on both of my podcasts. I would have tweeted it out for him. I would have Facebook posted it myself. I'm that guy. I do it all the time. I do it for people that I'm not even that close with. People all the time hit me up. I'd love to come on the show and promote this thing I got coming out. Or could you tweet this out for me? Yeah, dude. This is what we do. This is how we help each other out. You know? But don't fucking rape my Facebook wall. He was raping. I had been raped on Facebook 5 or 6 times before I finally said enough is enough. Like that Jennifer Lopez movie. I became J-Lo in that moment and I fought back, Mike. So, yeah.
Enough.
Enough. That's the show.
Yeah, the imagery of you in a fucking sports bra, cardio kickboxing.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Tybo. Guys, thanks for listening. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
A little positive feedback. Give us some fucking, give us some juice, bitches. Shannon, anything else? Am I missing anything? Did we nail it all today on the show?
We fucking nailed it.
Thanks for having me.
Great show.
Thanks for coming.
Love coming.
Mike Feeney, love having you on. Zach Amico, we'll be back next week this Thursday. Start watching the roast battle. All right, peace.
That's all, folks.